Good afternoon. Welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here Monday lunch hour as back to work for me. I was off last week with some holiday time, but boy, I'll tell you, it was a tough day when we learned about the tragedy of two people being killed in the north last week. Those two people, connections of mine from a couple of different angles, which there was a lot of phone calls and text messages going on. It's just another tragic bear attack that has happened in our province. And those deaths, those two individuals that died last week, come just after weeks of a separate fatal black bear attack, also in northern Saskatchewan. So this is the third bear-related fatality recorded in Saskatchewan this year. Just to put that in perspective, Saskatchewan has only had three documented fatal bear attacks in its entire history before this year, before 2026. To help us understand what is happening, is bear behavior changing? What can people do to stay safe? I'm happy to welcome back to the show Doug Clark. Doug is a professor at the University of Saskatchewan School of Environment and Sustainability. Professor Doug Clark, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Evan. And I'm sorry to hear that the McDonald's were people that you knew.
Yeah, it was more my wife knew the McDonald's. My wife played basketball with their daughter. And it's a province. It's a small province, and there's a lot of different connections. And these are tragic situations. Can we talk a bit about the fact that before this year, Saskatchewan had three bear fatalities in its history? This year alone, we've recorded three. Does this seem rare to you?
It's rare, and you're right. The two incidents in one year, that's the kind of thing that you just have to take a step back and start thinking about, because that is very unusual.
Is this something, and maybe I'm asking a question that you don't know, but are we hearing of more fatal attacks like outside of Saskatchewan? Is this a theme elsewhere in the country?
It's not a theme elsewhere in the country, Evan, and this is what at the moment is making this so unusual. But I do need to point out that what we saw happen to the McDonald's, to the young man who was killed in May, and in the other three known incidents that are documented in the province, they're all consistent with investigation is still ongoing in this current this most recent incident, so we don't know all the full picture. But Saskatchewan has a lot of black bears, and these incidents have all been consistent with a rare but serious behavior that black bears sometimes exhibit towards people, which is predatory behavior. And this is really different than the standard bear versus person arguing over the ownership of a cooler full of food at a campsite somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because black bears, I mean, I remember you were on the show before talking about this. This is not their norm to attack a person. Am I right in saying that?
Correct. It's very, very unusual. Far and away, the majority of black bear human interactions, when people and bears meet, it ends peacefully and uneventfully. And that's what you want. And honestly, that's what the bears want too. But there are situations, and all of these in Saskatchewan, consistent with what's been recorded elsewhere, all of them have happened in remote areas. And I think that's a really important point to remember.
Mm-hmm. I think we all are, of course, in our mind trying to think, okay, is there something going on that's causing this? Has something changed? Is it a food scarcity issue? Is it human activity? Is it wildfires? Do you have any thoughts as to what might be driving, or are these two very unique situations?
Well, they're unique, but there are parallels. And there are some interesting consistencies, and that's probably the only word I can use, with some of the previous events. Now, it's not a big number of events to draw a lot of conclusions from, but it's all we've got. Right. So what intrigues me is that if you look at the documentation for the two incidents where people lost their lives in 1983, and this was in late May in that year, two different incidents in northeast central Saskatchewan. Steve Herrero's book, and Steve Herrero is the guy who literally wrote the book on on bear attacks in Canada. He noted that that year in Saskatchewan, there was a late green-up. And 2026, folks will remember just how late spring was this year.
Right.
So that does make me wonder whether there's something going on. But it's certainly not as simple of if food is scarce, they start eating people. That would be, we'd be living on a very different continent if that were the case. Colleague of mine in British Columbia has an idea that maybe there needs to be kind of a 1-2 punch here. In other words, that if a bear has some kind of predisposing situation, a behavioral thing going on, it's just got a very different personality. And I'm not trying to be glib, but bears very much do have different personalities. Or if it's a bear that, may have had a mouthful of porcupine quills and isn't doing so well and needs to take a few more chances. If you combine that with some kind of environmental stress, then you might get the situations that lead to things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta emphasize, we really don't know. These are rare but severe, which means they're difficult to understand, difficult to anticipate, and difficult to plan for.
Right. We're chatting with Doug Clark, professor, University of Saskatchewan. Following a fatal incident like this, we often hear, and this case is no exception, that the bears are located and euthanized. Why is that necessary?
Oh, it's necessary for, let me back up a step. It is not always necessary, but in a situation where someone's lost their life, you really, really want to make sure that you have identified the bear involved. And whether it's been killed or captured, you need to be able to verify that. Black bears, there isn't a conservation concern about them in Saskatchewan or most places. And when you go in on a scene, and I think we should spare a thought to the first responders at that incident last
sure.
week too. When you go in on a scene like that, you really don't know what you're going in on. And bears can defend carcasses, including human. And so you may be faced with a situation where it's simply not feasible or even necessarily desirable to chemically immobilize a bear, and shooting a bear may be the only recourse. Just to put that in perspective, even if you place a dart exactly right, you've got 4.5 minutes with the currently used drugs before that bear is fully down. If everything has gone smoothly, a lot can happen close in with a bear in 4.5 minutes. So
mm-hmm.
that's simply not a chance that responders really ought to take.
And after the bear is euthanized, I remember you talking about this last time, Doug, there would be further examination that would be done.
Yeah, so what they'll be looking for, first off, would be to do whatever they can to ensure that they have, in fact, got the right bear. And second, they'll be looking for any kind of information they can get about what may have transpired. So, looking for me, one big question I'll have is, what was the body condition of the bear? Was it, notably underweight? Was it fairly normal? I do understand that the bear involved in the May incident was an adult bear in perfectly fine shape.
Some of the testing that they will do, like they will actually bring the bear, I believe, to the university in Saskatoon and do some further examinations there.
Yeah, the vet college is very well set up for large animal necropsies. They do these kinds of things all the time.
Is there a particular time of year where this could be more of a topic? Like, do we have cubs being born at a certain time of the year? Does that add to the aggression?
Cubs don't tend to be involved in these kinds of incidents with black bears. So, a pretty common scenario that people worry about, understandably and justifiably, is, getting between a mama bear and cubs, or somehow causing a mother bear to feel defensive with cubs. If that happens with a black bear, most of the time the mother is just simply going to tree the cubs, or they're all going to run off. But those kinds of situations do not result, and have not resulted in the historic record, in human fatalities. This is by all appearances, a very different kind of behavior.
In terms of people keeping themselves safe, and it, you know, I'm not asking you to comment on obviously this most recent tragic situation. I don't think we know the details yet of what happened there, but are there certain steps people can take to ensure that they're safe, or we must do this, especially if you're going into a remoter area in the province's north?
There sure are. I mean, anywhere you're at in bear country, remote or not, ensuring that your, you know, food and garbage and any kind of bear attractant is secure and not available to bears. That's a really basic and important precaution to take. But for people traveling in remote areas in northern Saskatchewan and elsewhere in the north, there's sort of a whole other level of thinking that you want to apply. And so my advice for people traveling in the north this summer, particularly since we don't really know what's going on, but, you know, in general is do some homework about animal activity, particularly bear activity, if you can in the area you're going to be going into, and carry deterrents. Bear spray is very effective on all three species of bears in North America. I use it. I have used it. As a national park warden, I carried it and did once try it on a black bear that was walking in the door of a restaurant. Very effective. My family carries it when we're out at our cabin or hiking or traveling around in the province. There are other deterrents available. I would say to people traveling in remote areas, evaluate what deterrents are going to be practical for your group. You know, you've heard me mention bear spray a couple times now. I'm a big believer in it, but it's not the only deterrent out there, and it's not a magic bullet either. So even if you're carrying spray, you shouldn't feel invulnerable. Ideally, you'd have options. Mm-hmm. You know, this is when I work or travel in polar bear country, my main thinking is options. Mm-hmm. You want to have different things that you can do and different tools available to you for different situations.
Right. Doug, I always appreciate having you on the program. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us here today.
You're welcome, Evan.
Doug Clark, professor at the University of Saskatchewan School of Environment and Sustainability. And again, our heartfelt condolences to the McDonald family, all the relatives, family, friends, community impacted by this tragedy that happened in northern Saskatchewan last week. We'll take our break. We'll be right back here. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.